Wait on me there. I want to do a few things before we begin our message tonight. First of all, let me encourage you to be much in prayer about what the Lord would have you to do this coming year for Faith Promise Missions Giving. This is above your tithe. Your tithe belongs to the Lord. You don't even have to pray about that. Give your tithe to the Lord. It belongs to Him. But above your tithe, you pray and seek the Lord. God, what would you have me and my family do for Faith Promise Missions this coming year? And next Sunday, you'll have an opportunity to be able to fill that in for the Faith Promise Commitment Card. You won't even have to put your name on it. In other words, nobody's going to come to your house and ask for it. It's not the way it functions. It's between you and the Lord. But this just helps us to plan and prepare for this coming year. And I'm praying that this church does more this year than we've ever done. And I hope that you're on board with this. And you're asking God to lay on your heart what He would have you and your family to give. And if you obey the Lord, I obey the Lord, we all obey the Lord, then the Lord's will be done. It's that simple. And I encourage you to be much in prayer about it. I'll tell you one thing that blesses my heart during Faith Promise Sunday is not just those that come in that are bigger amounts, but I like those that come in that's like 50 cents. 50 cents a week or 25 cents a week or $1.50 a week. Because here's the thing. If that person who's giving 50 cents a week is obeying the Lord, then it's the same to the Lord as somebody who's giving $250 a week. It's just that we obey the Lord. See, this is it. This is it. Let's just obey God as an individual, as a family, as a church. I hope you're on board with this. I think you are. That if God tells us to step right, let's step right. If He wants us to go left, let's go left. If He wants us to wait, let's wait. Let's let the Lord make the decisions around here. When I pray, there are times I tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to make the decisions. I don't want to make them. I want you to make them. I mean that. I want God to make the decisions. And let's let Him make these decisions in our life. Along with that, I want to show you the progress of the building renovation over here. We've got some pictures that I want to show you here. This, it's coming along very beautifully. This is the men's restroom so far. Now, it's a work in progress, honestly, but this gives you an idea of what the tile is going to be looking like inside the restrooms. If you'll flip there, this is the kitchen right now, and you can notice the floor. It looks like hardwood. It's not been grouted yet, but it looks like hardwood. That is tile, but it looks like hardwood. And all these things without that just has openings on it. That's the cabinets. So the doors have not been put on or the drawers not been put in. You can see the sink over here. There'll be some islands right here in the middle. It's coming along beautifully. If we'll go to the next picture there, this is the hallway right now. You can get a little bit better look at what the floor looks like there. Let's go ahead and go to the next. That's the floor, obviously without the grout. We are going to put grout in there, okay, and all these kind of things. Are there any more? Okay, this is looking in from the gymnasium into the kitchen there. There's the opening. And notice that opening has been made a little bit bigger, I think, because that's we're needing more room for the biscuits and stuff that come out of there, Miss Hayes. You know, all these kind of things. That's good. Is that it? This is downstairs. The ceiling has been installed for the youth department. I encourage you to go down and look at it. I appreciate Brother Brad Griffin, who had a major part in this. And he did this on stilts, and they put me on those stilts. And Brother Gary came beside of me, and they like, take a step in them. I said, I'm not, no. And then I get out of them, and Brad puts them on and says, you know, I'm not used to these things yet either right now, you know, because of the wood that's on the bottom of them. Of course, he runs around in them probably, but all those kind of things. That is beautifully done right there. I encourage you to go downstairs tonight if you can and take a look at that. I like it. The church is progressing. We're going forward. We're trying to advance with the Lord, and we give Him all the glory for it. John chapter 17, let's pray, and we'll pick up right where we were and left off this morning. Let's pray together. Father, bless tonight. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from Your Word. And prepare us for this mission conference. May Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking to you on the Lord's Prayer. And it's taken us a lot of services to get through this. I'm just taking my time. And what we've done is we've broken the Lord's Prayer up into three major topics. Number one, prayer concerning Himself. That's verses 1 through 5. You can go back and get it. Then we're currently under prayer concerning his disciples. And we're looking at different things that he was talking about those disciples that were right there with him. First of all, we noticed the Lord's description of them. And then we have started with the Lord's petition for them. So we've noticed his description of them. There were six of them. Then we're studying now the Lord's petition for them. We gave you one of those this morning when he petitioned in verses 11 and 12 that they be kept through the Father's name. Now here's petition number two. This is the Lord's petition. This is letter B, if you're following me, number two under it. Here's the second petition that he made in his prayer for the disciples. In verse number 11, here it is. Let's read it. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name. There's petition number one. Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So here's petition number two. That they be one. That they be one. This is verse number 11. Now in this we see his disciples to be one. Now let me explain this. One commentator put it well by saying that the heart of Christ is exceedingly set upon the unity and oneness of his members. Now, the believer's union with Christ, their head, and one with one another, has some resemblance to that unity that's between the Father and the Son. In other words, he's saying, I want them to be one just like you and I are. For it is a holy spiritual union between the Father and the Son. It is a close and intimate union between the Father and the Son. It's an indissoluble and inseparable union between the Father and the Son. Now hear, you cannot get the Father and Son apart. They are one. They're completely unified. One's not going one way and the other going the other way. They're going the same direction. They're one. And his petition is that his disciples would be as one as he is with his Father. Now, the Lord spoke to me in a couple of ways in this. First of all, the Lord spoke to me how all of God's children are literally united into one body when they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. For instance, if you're saved today, we don't make up many bodies, we make up one body. It's the body of Christ. We are unified in the body of Christ. We are one. Whether you like it or not, we're one, okay? And here's how the Lord spoke to my heart. Because of that, we are one in the eyes of Jesus Christ. We are His one body. We are unified in one body. Many members, but one body, the Bible says. One body with many members. Now, because that is a fact, a spiritual fact, that we are one in Christ, His prayer has been answered, in other words. Because that is true, we should strive to live as one on the earth. Now, did you hear what I just said? We are one in Christ. This prayer has been answered. But because we are one in Christ, we're made up of the one body of Christ, the Lord spoke to my heart in application to say, I also want you to live as one on earth. He doesn't want his body to be disunified, in other words. He wants us to be unified in the cause of Jesus Christ. Psalm 133:1 says, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what God's word said. Now, are we unified as one on this earth? As we are unified as one in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I'm making sense what I'm saying here. I'm giving you an application here. My will, Heavenly Father, is that they be one as you and I are, Jesus said. Well, that happens at salvation. We become one, part of the one body of Christ. But then He wants us to live in unity with one another. You know one of the reasons God is blessing Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? No doubt in my mind. One of the many reasons, it's not the only reason, but one of the many reasons is because of the unity that we have here. There, honestly, friends, there's great unity at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, I'm not just saying that. That's the truth. If there's, honestly, now this is good for a pastor to say this. If there's disunity, I'm talking about people just going off and disloyalty. If there's disunity, I'm telling you tonight that I'm not aware of it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not problems. Every church has problems. You're looking at one of them right here, okay? I'm not saying that this is a perfect church, no. I'm not saying that there's not things we don't need to work on, no. I'm not saying that everybody's in full agreement all the time. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm talking about disunity where the devil is getting in and the devil's working and the devil's trying to get there and go in here and try to disrupt there. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that our church is a unified church. It needs to be that way. It needs to stay that way. And let me tell you how it stays that way. Every person who wants unity helps keep it that way. See, let me say this to you. You may be aware of something going on that I'm not. I hope that's not true. Okay, I hope that's not true. But if you are, and it's something the devil's using, take care of it. Amen. Make sure that nothing comes inside this church to disunify what we're trying to do for God's glory. That's not the will of God. God wants His children to be as one like He is with His Father, and we are, spiritually speaking, salvation-wise, and now He wants us to be unified together. He wants us to be going in the same direction. He wants us to be unified in harmony, not bickering back and forth. No, this is it. And may I say this to you? Could it be in a crowd this size that there's somebody whose feathers have been ruffled here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Or maybe they're disagreeing with something? Again, if they are, that's between you and God, because it's not like, right, boy, I hope he gets this, or I hope she gets, no. But if there's somebody like that, I'm talking about right now, you're thinking to yourself, boy, I wish I was different, then understand that God wants unity. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. That's what He prayed for. He petitioned that we be as one. This is another petition. Then let me give you a third petition found in verse number 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Here's third petition. But that thou shouldest keep them from, notice this now, the evil. You see that little three-letter word? That you'll keep them from the evil. It doesn't say that you'll keep them from evil, but the evil. What's he talking about? In this we see the Lord petitioning His Father to keep His disciples from the evil. Now, the evil has been identified as the devil. He's been identified as the devil or evil in general. Now, stay with me here. Notice here the Lord Jesus did not request. Now, I'm going somewhere with all of this because this kind of goes to as far as I'm going to get with you tonight. It goes into the next point here. So stay with me. I'm beginning something here that kind of just complements itself the further we go along here. Notice he did not petition that his Father would take them out of the world. He didn't do that. He didn't say, Father, I pray that you take them home. He didn't do that. Because he knew the world needed their message. Now stay with me here. He only requests that while they're on the earth and in the world, that the Father would keep the evil away from them. Now one man said, and I'm quoting here, keep them from the author of evil and from evil itself, from sin, from the power and snares of the devil, from destruction until their course is run. Keep them from the devil that they may not come under his power, from the world, that they may not be deceived by its allurements. Friends, listen to me. The devil is alive. He's loose today. He's not a cartoon character. He is after us. He's got demons. He's trying to destroy us. And the only reason I'm talking about that we are here tonight and have not fallen prey is because the Father's protecting his children. You know what this tells me? This tells me you don't have to give in to the devil. You don't have. Hey, have you ever heard this? The devil made me do it. Hogwash. That's garbage. The devil didn't make you do anything. The devil doesn't make me do anything because God is protecting us from the evil. We don't have to give in to it. May I say this to you? If it wasn't for his protection, he'd get every one of us. He'd get you and he'd get me too. I thank God for this petition right here. The devil is after us. Evil is around every corner. And the Lord said, I pray, not that you take them out of the world, leave them in the world, but keep them from the evil. Keep the evil away from them. Aren't you glad he prayed that? What a prayer request. That's something we all need. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice the present tense verbs. He's a roaring lion. He's walking about. He's seeking whom he may devour. That means right now he's walking about. He's seeking who he may devour. Luke 22:31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, talking about Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Ephesians 6:12, and for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In this world there is evil, and it would be tempting to just want to go home and get away from it all. I've been there. I've been to the point where I'm like, Lord, take me home. Come back and get us today. I'm tired of this, tired of battling, tired of fighting. Just take us home. You ever been there? Yes, amen. Sure, who hasn't been there? It would be so tempting with all the evil and all the wickedness and the devil running rampant and all the bad news just to say, take me home. So tempting for that. But as one man said, how could Christ's people do any good in the world if taken away from it immediately after conversion? The Lord says here he doesn't want them taken out of the world. By the way, every one of them, God knew how their life would end. The Lord knew how they would suffer persecution. He knew what they would go through. And the Lord could have taken them home anytime he chose to. But when he prays to his Father, he says this, leave them in the world. But you keep them from the evil. It's hard to explain what I'm trying to get across, but I'm going to do my best here. The Lord says he doesn't want them taken out of the world, but that his Father would keep them from evil. Get this now. Even though the devil's on the loose and wickedness is seemingly on every hand, our Father's keeping us. J. Vernon McGee put it well. I'm telling you, here it is, you know. Here's what he said. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could really learn this lesson? We cry and whimper because things are hard down here. Sure they are. He said they would be hard. I suspect that every 24 hours there's a great hallelujah meeting in heaven, and the angels say, isn't it marvelous that McGee is still being kept? It'd be so easy to take him out of the world. But it's a real miracle to keep him in the world. If we could learn that, it would enable us to endure more easily our problems and tensions and difficulties and temptations. The Lord Jesus has prayed to keep us in the world and to protect us from the evil one. Here it is. Here's the main thought I'm trying to get across here. You and I don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in fear. Our Heavenly Father is keeping us in this world of wickedness. The point seems to be that we are safe in the care of the Heavenly Father. That doesn't mean that nothing's going to hit us. It hit the disciples. But you are safe from evil. He's not going to let the wicked one have his way with you. He's going to protect you in it all. The devil and evil cannot destroy us, in other words. If the devil could take you out of this world, he would. Did you know that? Because he doesn't like your Jesus. He doesn't like your message. And if you're out especially trying to win a world to Christ, he'd like to silence your voice and take you out of this world. Then why are you still here? How's he not gotten to you? Why are you still breathing air? Let me tell you why. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's why.
And my Father's keeping me from him. That doesn't mean that he's not going to throw darts at me. That doesn't mean that every now and then I don't get stuck. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to suffer pain. But it means this: nothing's going to happen to me from the devil that the Lord does not allow to happen to me. I'm safe in the arms of my Heavenly Father. We can rest in that. We can rest in that truth. We don't have to live in fear. One man said the divine method of preservation is not isolation from the diseased world. For we are the great physician's attendants to carry the sin cure to the sick all around us. Physicians and nurses cannot be isolated from the contagion of disease. They can't stay away from it. How would they treat the people? But they're inoculated with antitoxins in order to keep them from it. In other words, they're protected, you see. They've got something that helps protect them because they're coming in contact with those diseases and they're helped with things to basically keep them from getting that. Or in the case, here's what Jesus is saying. There's a sin-sick world, Father. There's a wicked world. They don't want anything to do with me. They don't want anything to do with you. They hate you. They hate me. They hate your word. They hate salvation. They hate what I'm getting ready to do. But my disciples, those that I change, those that I save, even though they may be tempted every now and then to want to come home, don't do it. You leave them in the world. But you put a hedge of protection about them. And you help them. And you protect them. We are strengthened with might by His Spirit, the Word of God says, in the inner man against the attacks of sin, and so secured from the domination of the evil one. Here's what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying that you cannot be attacked. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. The Word of God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But you may be to stand against the wiles of the devil and quench all the fiery darts of the way. That means he's shooting fiery darts, friends. It doesn't mean that we're not in a battle, but it means this. We rest in the security of the Heavenly Father, that he can shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot, and unless we just get out from behind him and say, "Here I am," we are protected in the power of the Heavenly Father. You don't have to live in fear. Psalm 27, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Though a host encamp about me, I will not fear." That means if you're all alone and you look up and there's a whole army surrounding you, the psalmist said, "I'm not going to be afraid of that. The Lord's on my side. He's my defense. He's my protection." Don't you think we need to rest in that today? Especially with everything that's going on. You know how the devil works? Is America going to be here long? What's your children and grandchildren going to grow up into? Hey, they're going to infiltrate the company. They're going to come into this auditorium in the future. They're going to start taking people out. Yeah, I know how the devil works, friends. I know how he works. The Lord would never say that, but the devil would. Let me tell you why. Because he's the author of fear. He wants to make you afraid. Here's what the Lord's saying. I don't want them out of the world. I want them in the world, but I am trusting you, Heavenly Father, to keep them protected. Now, friends, we need to trust in that. We need to rest in that. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now that's God's word. God's word said the wicked one's not going to touch him. Psalm 34, 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. We're noticing his petition for them. We've already talked about his description of them. Now we're looking at his petition for them. And we've looked tonight that the Father would keep them from evil, that they be one. And then a final petition, which is number 4, if you're keeping notes, is found in verse 17. Here's petition number 4. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's petition number 4, that the Father would sanctify them by and through his word. Now, the word sanctify means to make holy. It means to make hallow. It means to consecrate. One commentator put it well by saying, this word has two meanings. It signifies to consecrate, to separate from earth and common use, and to devote or dedicate to God and his service. Number 2, it signifies to make holy or pure. So make it holy or pure, or take it away from the earth and common use. You're in the earth, but not of the earth. You separate it in the world, it's not of the world, and it's devoted and dedicated to God for his holy service. Now, the prayer of Christ can be understood in both senses. He prayed that they might be fully consecrated to the work of the ministry and separated from all worldly concerns, and he prayed that they might be holy and patterns of all holiness to those to whom they announce the salvation of God. A minister who engages himself in worldly concern is a reproach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he who's not saved from his own sins can with a bad grace recommend salvation to others. He's saying, let them show the world it works. Let them show the world it works. That I've consecrated them, I've separated them. The point is, the word of God was to have a sanctifying effect upon these men. By the word of God, they became Christians and thus sanctified in salvation. And by the word of God, their lives were sanctified or set apart to be holy in the service of God Almighty. He's praying that the word of God would have full effect in their hearts and lives. You know, one of the greatest things that we have on planet Earth? Right here. It's the word of God. You know, the Lord has simplified life. You've heard me say that statement, but I say it again here. The Lord has written what he wants us to know. Now, is this everything God knows? Absolutely not, okay? But it's everything he wants us to know in the Word of God. But in his word, he gives it to us, not just so we have it. He gives it to us so it takes effect in our lives. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Consecrate them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Let us be a church that majors on the word of God. Now, we know this. This is the kind of church we are. We major on the Bible. If the Word of God teaches it, we want to teach it. If it says it, we want to believe it. We want to tie ourselves down to this book. But we see another reason why here is that the Lord is praying specifically that the Word of the Father would sanctify His disciples. He wants the Word of God not just to be read. He wants it to be obeyed. And he wants the Word of God not only just to be read to where you know what it says, but to where it just kind of sets you apart from the world that he's kept you in to be a gospel witness to. This is what he's praying. This is his petition. Number one, his description for these disciples. This is major point number 2, prayer concerning his disciples, verses 6 through 19, I think it is, or 6 through 20. Number 1, his description of them. He gave 6 descriptions. Number 2, his petition for them. He gave 4 of them. We conclude with this thought tonight. We see his commission of them. Not only his description and his petition, but now his commission. We see this in verse 18 and 19. Notice it now. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now he's saying some beautiful things here, okay? And as you study the Word of God and you start digging into it, and the Holy Spirit begins to teach you and says, here's what I meant, here's what I meant, here's what that means, here's what that means. It's like, Lord, what a blessing. What a challenge. I call this the Lord's commission of them. And you know, I'm just preaching through books. But isn't it interesting that the Lord has us here on Sunday night before the mission conference starts? Honestly. Brother Kaiser taught me in Bible college, he said, young man, he said, just learn to preach through books of the Bible. He said, because you'll be amazed at how often God will have you exactly where you need to be. I've seen it time and time again. And tonight's no different. We conclude right before the Wednesday night mission conference on the Lord's commission of these disciples. Right after the Lord asked His Father to sanctify these disciples by His Word, He made a challenging statement. He said He sent them into the world even as His Father had sent Him into the world. It would have been a lot easier for the Lord to stay home. But His Father sent Him into the world. Now the Lord says this, I'm not praying that you send them home. I'm not praying you take them out of the world, leave them in the world. But sanctify them by your truth. Keep them from the evil one. Because what I'm doing, Father, is as you sent me, I'm sending them. Stay with me here. Oliver Green said, he therefore prayed in this manner, Father, I'm asking for the day-by-day sanctification of my disciples because of their position here on earth. As you sent me, I send them, and I pray for their increased sanctification that they may follow in my steps, and they may be lights in a dark world as they give testimony to your saving grace. Father, just as I have lived a holy, righteous life separate from the world, so must they, if they are to carry on the work that I'm leaving them to do in this present evil world. Believers are God's witnesses in this world, and if the testimony of a witness is to be effective, his character must be blameless and above reproach. It was because of this that Jesus prayed especially for the sanctification of his disciples. Don't you see what he's doing? He's saying, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Keep them from the evil. Because as you sent me, I send them. See, he's saying, Father, what you did for me, do for them. You sanctified me. You set me apart. You kept the evil from me. You kept the devil from me. You protected me. That doesn't mean he protected him from death. But he didn't let him fall prey to the attack of the devil. Don't you see the difference? The devil tried to stop him in Gethsemane, but he didn't stop. He kept going. Why? Because his Father was helping him. And he's saying, I'm getting ready to come home. And just like you commissioned me, I'm commissioning them. And just like I had to be sanctified and holy and set apart for it to be effective, they need to be holy for their message to take effect. I want them to be as holy as I am, to take the message as I took it. Point is, just as the Father sent His Son into the world to show the way of salvation, all of God's children have been commissioned by the Son to go into the world for the same purpose. In other words, our mission is His mission. His mission is our mission. We're to do what He did in this world. In order to be effective at it, we must be sanctified by the Word of God. May I put it this way? What a privilege. What an honor that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He saved us, He commissioned us. He said, I don't want you to come home yet. I got a work for you to do. I want you to do in this world what my Father sent me here to do. I want you to be holy. I want you to be righteous. I want you to have my word, and I want you to go tell a lost and dying world that I am the answer to their problems. This is His commission. Then in verse number 19, he does something interesting. He says something. He said he was sanctified for their sakes, that they might be sanctified by the truth. Now, what does that mean? The meaning seems to be that he was giving himself for them. so that they could be saved and have a story to tell. He's saying this, the only way I can commission them into the world and the only way they can truly be sanctified is that I am sanctified for them. He had to be talking about the crucifixion. He had to be saying, Father, you know that what I'm getting ready to do in less than 24 hours is enough reason to keep them in the world, to sanctify them from the world, and to commission them to the world. He has commissioned us to glorify the Father by the salvation of men. You know who said that? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He went on to say this, the pierced hands of Jesus have ordained each one of us to minister for the good of those around us. One man said, once let the truth of Calvary grip our souls, and the cross will slay any lingering appeal the world may have for us. Thus Paul speaks of the cross, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Let us but catch a glimpse of what the world did to our Lord, and that will be enough to transform our attitude both towards the world and Him. Because when you see what the world did to Him and how He did that so you and I could be sanctified, and so you and I, instead of leaving the world, could stay in the world, be protected by His Father, be sanctified by His Father, so we can send that same message out to the world. When you see it that way, the world becomes at once both a battlefield and a mission field. Did you hear what I just said? At one moment, the world became a battlefield. But at the same moment, it became a mission field. As we come to a close of this section of when He prayed for His disciples that were there with Him that day, let us rejoice in His description of them and how He saw them. Let us be encouraged by His petitions for them and how we're safe and secure. But let us be challenged by His commission of them. Let me put it this way. You know, I love to preach. I hate closing. I like to stay open 24 hours a day. You don't hear me preach for a long time. Don't say amen. But here's how God's dealing in my heart right now. As we think about the mission conference, as we think about His commission and how He prayed to His Heavenly Father, I'm not praying that You take them out of the world. Leave them here, God. Father, leave them in the world. Why would He pray that? Why in the world would Jesus say in this world of wickedness where some of them are going to be killed, they're going to be, I'm talking about majorly persecuted, they're going to die for their faith. Why in the world would Jesus Christ petition the Father, leave them here? Why? I'll tell you why. Because the world who hates Him, He loves them. And He knows that they can argue with anything except a changed, converted, sanctified, loving Christian. And if we do anything other than go and tell a lost and dying world, if we do anything other than that, we have missed the reason He left us on earth. We've missed it. Don't you see and hear the heart of Jesus Christ in this? Father, they hate me, but I love them. And I'm going to send my disciples to them. You keep them here. You protect them. You sanctify them through your truth. Because I'm going to send them into the world like you sent me. And the only reason I can do it is because I'm getting ready to be sanctified for them. How do you look at his death? As a sanctification. He was being set apart so you and I could be sent out. Are we fulfilling his mission? We can fulfill it by praying, by going, by giving, and I submit to you that every person that is able should be involved in all three of those. Now, some can only pray because they're bedridden. They can't get out of the house any longer. God, help us to ignite that prayer warrior in that home. Amen or not? Some people cannot do anything but pray. God knows that. Some can give. Some can go. But if you can do all three, there's no excuse for just doing one or two. He wants us to be involved because that's why he left us here. You can tell I'm having a hard time to close. I'm telling you. I've enjoyed myself today. I enjoy myself most of the time, honestly, but I sense the Lord working. If you've given your life to anything other than giving the gospel around the world, you are using the protection of the Father selfishly. Because he's not protecting us to do our own things. He's protecting us to do his work. Will we do it? Well, I hope right now in your heart you're saying, yes. Yes. Yes! What can I do? One thing you can do is pray this week, God, what would you have me to give to Faith Promise this coming year? And Lord, how can I tell the people in this area the gospel of Jesus Christ? Keep your eyes open. Be soul conscious. Give the gospel everywhere you go this week for the glory of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Help us to be faithful to you. And help us to see the reason you leave us in this world. Challenge our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Tonight, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Do you know you're born again? If you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I don't know that. I don't know if I'm born again or not. Or I'm lost and I know it. Or I'm doubting, whatever the case may be, just a moment when we have an invitation, you come. Let us take a Bible, share the gospel story with you, how Jesus Christ bled and died for you on Calvary's cross. He was buried and rose again for your justification. If you will trust him as your Savior, he will save you and change your life. Tonight, the message was basically to Christians. Do you hear his prayer requests for you as we listen in on this? When he was praying for Peter and James and John on that particular night and the others, don't you hear his prayer request for you at the same time? Don't you hear him saying, Lord, Father, keep them from the evil. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Father, help them be one like you and I are. Hear his prayer request. Lord, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. But why in the world does he pray for protection? Why does he pray for sanctification? Why does he pray that we're one? Because he has sent us into the world like he was sent into the world. And he wants our message to have the most effect that it can. And he wants our message to make the difference that he wants it to make. Do you see his commission of your life? Here's my question for you tonight. Is your mission his mission? Are you proving by your life that you are a sent one by Jesus Christ. May God help us with this. She begins to play through softly. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to your heart about being a sent one, a commissioned one, if you need to be saved, come. If you just want to come and say, God, thank you for commissioning me. Help me to be the best commissioned member of your family that you have ever let breathe. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing, if God is speaking to your heart, would you come now? Would you please?
I can hear He's commissioned you.
He has sent you into the world like His Father sent Him into the world.
I can hear my Savior calling.
Let's act like it.
I can hear my Savior.
Be a sanctified one.
Calling.
A holy one.
Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way.
You can look this way. We're about through here. Next time you think about Calvary, think about you. You know why He did it? To save you. So you can go tell other people about it. That's the message. May God help us with this. These ladies' banquet tickets are available. Time has been set for 6:30. 6:30 to about 8 o'clock or so. The ladies' banquet. These are available for you to get. I remind you ladies and men who are willing to bring something for the Taste of Nations, if you'll sign up for that tonight, if your child needs a bank for the missionaries, if you'll see Brother Bob, we have some meetings going on tonight. I need to meet with the host families just real quickly here. Brother Gary needs to meet with those going to Fiji in the Blue Room. And in the, let's put this, there'll be a brief meeting for all current 6th through 11th graders. Let's have them go to the chapel, okay? What I say? Oh, I thought I said something I shouldn't have said there. Yeah, that's it right there, friends. How many of y'all would like to see me take a step in that? Would you raise your hand? Why would you like to see me take a step in that? Yes, I know. Okay, let's have this meeting for the 6th through 11th graders in the chapel, okay? Let's do that in the chapel. And parents? Okay, 6th through 11th graders and parents, if you'll go to the chapel, let me go ahead and dismiss you first, okay? Thank you for being patient with us tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Be back on Wednesday night for the mission conference. 6th graders through 11th graders and parents to the chapel. Fiji trip to the Blue Room. Host families here. God bless you, folks. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.